Tant say hello and welcome. You're listening to the voices of our people across the Windspeaker Radio Network. I'm Daniel Barker-Tremblay, and it's Seegatsoon. On today's episode, I have the honor and absolute privilege of sitting down with Rick Morasty. Welcome to Voices of Our People there, Rick.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And so, Rick, let's talk a little bit about where you grew up.
I am a criminal defense lawyer, and I've been doing that for about 20 years. Prior to that, I worked for government, but went back to law school, and for the past 20 years, I've been doing primarily criminal defense work, which means representing people who are accused of something. And I did a little bit of child welfare for a bit, but maybe 4 years ago, I stopped that. But I do 100% criminal defense. I'm the guy that appears for people that are in trouble with the police.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up in a community called Green Lake, Saskatchewan, which is just west or east of Meadow Lake, about 30 miles. But I was born in Big River, scooped from the hospital and put into foster care until I was about 3 months old, and my family got me back. My grandma raised me in Green Lake, didn't speak much English, so I'm fluent in Cree. But then I moved to Meadow Lake to go to high school and graduated from there, and then moved to the big city and did a few things, construction, bouncing in bars, working as a waiter, working for government, made my way through law school, dropped out and went back at University of Ottawa, and then came back and worked a little bit at the university, and then hung up my shingle to practice law, and that's what I've been doing for the past 20 years.
What drew the inspiration for you to become a lawyer? What sparked that interest within you?
Well, as I said, I was raised by my grandmother. She didn't speak English hardly at all, and I think I remember when I was about 10, maybe 12 years old, I told her I was going to be a lawyer, and where I got that notion, I have no idea, but I was an avid reader. Everything that I could read, pick up to read, I read. I mean, I didn't speak English till I was about 7 years old, but as I always like to tell people, I learned to read from Louis L'Amour, the Western novel writer. So I don't know where I got the notion to be a lawyer, but I told my grandma I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 12 years old. So it was a dream that I had as a young man, even before I knew what a lawyer actually did. I dropped out of law school, but I went back, and so I guess it's fulfilling a dream that I had, and a lot of people inspired me.
On the path to becoming a lawyer, you know, before you went to doing all that, to get your bachelor's at the University of Alberta and an LLB at the University of Ottawa, you spent years working with a variety of Aboriginal organizations, as you said, with a lot of government departments and both federal and provincial levels. Can you talk a little bit about your experience working in various places such as those to hone your craft and to become the lawyer that you are today?
I dropped out of law school in the mid-80s, and I got a job with the government has a contract with Aboriginal Affairs that it was called in those days. And my late mentor was a fellow named Cliff Superno, passed away. And, you know, I ran half marathons with him. He got me into running. I really, really looked up to him. And basically, under his guidance, I kind of grew up, even though I was in my late 20s. I worked as in an entry-level position with Aboriginal Affairs. A lady by the name of Louise Hayes got me, you know, just a connection of people that I had that saw something in me, inspired me. Irene Morin from Enoch. These are people that kind of took me under their wing. My grandma died when I was 20, and after that, I really just me. You know, I moved to the city looking after myself, I thought. But you know what? The Creator put people in front of me, like Cliff Superno, Louise Hayes, Irene Morin, and others. I mean, there's so many. The late Patricia Montour, after I had dropped out of law school, she said, you should go back to law school, and when you do, you work in the trenches. Don't go work for government. So when I'm down sometimes in my work and the trenches, I'm still in the trenches, I think of these people that have inspired me, and I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And
surrounding yourself with so many people within your chosen field, giving you all the advice and everything that helps shape you to the person that you are today, I got to ask, you know, within your work, it's often known that a lot of First Nations, Indigenous, Métis, or Inuit face a lot of trial dates, and they're in courts more often than any other ethnicity. Is that another reason why that you also became a lawyer, to help those get justice, especially when it comes to our courtrooms nowadays that we face here, not only in the province of Alberta, but nationwide?
Yes. I mean, I'm like I say, I'm a, avid reader, and when I went to my undergrad degree was a sociology degree, but I kind of made before they had a criminology department, they had courses like juvenile delinquency, conformity and deviance, criminal justice administration. They were sociology courses. Now they're in the criminology faculty, but that's where my interest went to. I wanted to, these are the courses that I took, and I think that's why I wanted to become a lawyer. I see the injustices. I mean, right from the, you walk into the courtroom and you see the rolling, and it's all Indigenous names. Mm-hmm. So that inspired me. I had family, I have relatives, have all been involved in the criminal justice system. No one, if you're an Indigenous person, you probably have relatives who have come run afoul of the law. So mm-hmm. It kind of came natural for me to do that. This is what I wanted to do. I articled with a civil firm, and I was bored stiff with, examination for discovery, for example, in civil matters. What I really wanted to do was criminal law, and that's where I ended up.
With what you've done in your career, the word that in Cree that comes back to me is akamamuk, which means to persevere. And would you say that with all the cases that you've worked with and people that you've worked alongside with to help in any sort of circumstance, does that word persevere always come back to you no matter what you do?
That's funny you should bring up that word, because I have a young... My youngest son is a lawyer as well, and that's a word that I gave. My grandma told me that, means, keep on keeping on, and kaiwehgatspakchi means don't ever give up. So that was something that, I have many, many setbacks in my life, but akamimo, the akamimo spirit has always been with me, and I tried to instill that in my boys, that no matter what setbacks you have, and I translated that into my practice. Sometimes I'm in rural courts, person's in custody, the sheriff says we have him at the back, do you want to talk to him through the bars, I said no, let me in, I'll go sit beside, and I sit beside him in the cot, we talk and we're going to resolve this. And I advice that I've given many of my clients is, I was where you were sitting when I was 20 years old, but you you don't have to be a lawyer, but you can get out of this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Just akamimo, kai bakchi, don't give up. So that's kind of the words I try to give to my clients.
And along with, the Cree roots that you speak of, that you help to adapt to your career and to help those that are in need, what other ones have you utilized throughout your career?
Well, one of the things that I remember about my grandma, she was a helper. And Indigenous, I just got back from Green Lake where I grew up. There was a wake, 3-day wake. Mm-hmm. When I was small, the wakes were usually held at somebody's house, one of the larger houses, and they would decorate, put the white sheet where the coffin was going to be. My grandma did that. She would help the people who were grieving to set up the wake, the house, make the sandwiches. She was always involved in helping. And other things that, people would knock on our door at 1 a.m. Sometimes they had been drinking, and I would tell her, don't let them in. And it would be winter time. That means they will freeze. So she would let them in. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I could smell bacon. She's cooking them breakfast at 2 o'clock in the morning. that's what I grew up with. My grandma was a helper. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, I've become my grandma. I help in courts, but I've become my grandma.
And when the day came when you got your doctorate of law and, of course, to become a lawyer, what was your grandma's reaction? And if, to see you become the lawyer that you were, and if she wasn't able to see that, what would her thoughts be if she were to see you in the place that you're in today with so many of the people that you helped out with in your career?
Well, I think she would be proud of me. I mean, my grandma, unfortunately, passed away 18 months after I graduated from high school. One of the sacrifices that she made was Green Lake didn't have a high school. We were 34 miles away. Mm-hmm. I told her, if we don't move, I'm going to quit school. And she said, "Moi nohtiwig in munya nak." I mean, I don't want to live where the white people live. Not that she had anything against white people, but she didn't communicate that well. But she was quite sickly, so we moved to town for me to go to high school, and so she could be close to the hospital. And literally across the street from her hospital is the hospital she died in. But she came out of the hospital in June when I graduated from high school, and she, I, I remember her sitting in near the front row in her scarf and a coat. She saw me graduate from high school. And so I know she, I'm getting emotional here. I know she was there when I graduated with my undergraduate degree, when I got my law degree, and also with, you know, she watches over me.
In terms of your line of work, you know, with being a lawyer in this modern time, are you starting to see a lot more First Nations, Indigenous, Métis, or Inuit becoming lawyers and fighting that same fight to bring that, you know, to the limelight and also to show others that, you know what, your voice will be heard in the court of law and in the courtroom?
I think one of the best kept secrets is number of people who are lawyers and judges, you know, what that expression that I stand on the shoulders of giants. You know, there are people that preceded me, Willie Littlechild as a lawyer. There's Judge Jerry Morin from Saskatchewan. He's from the Cumberland House. Tony Mandeman originally from Ontario, but he was a judge here in Alberta. Eugene Creighton, Blackfoot from down south. He's retired, but he was. So there are many who preceded me. And there are many, many other Judge Cheryl Arcand Kootenay from Alexander. She's a justice in the Court of King's Bench. Ivan Latisher from St. Paul. He's not from St. Paul, but that's where he sits. So there are many out there, but the public don't pay attention to that. They pay attention to the sad stories, the people pushing the grocery carts down the street, mm-hmm. the homeless. We have so many professionals in all walks, including the law. And then back to the second part of your question, the young people. I mean, there are so many young people that are actually practicing that are Indigenous. One of them I would have put a plug into was admitted to the bar July 26th, 2024, my son. Wow. He does what I do. He works for Pringle's office. Wow. Kind of come full circle because I articled with Alex Pringle, the late Alex Pringle, and now he's with them. So there's many lawyers out there doing the same thing that I'm doing.
And as a father for your son, you know, that just got accepted into the bar, that you said it was a full circle moment. What thoughts came to mind for you to see your son following his dad's footsteps become a lawyer?
Yeah, he, you know, literally following in my footsteps because he's in court all the time. I have an older son who's a lawyer in Toronto. He's a partner with one of the biggest firms in the world, Denton's. He's never been inside of a courtroom, but he's been a lawyer since 2010. So, again, another well-kept secret. You know, that nobody would know that my son is a partner at one of the most prestigious firms in the world. And they're not just my son, but many people. McCormick, Cody McCormick's mm-hmm. father was a lawyer. Cody McCormick played in the NHL for Buffalo. His dad was a lawyer in Northern Ontario. Mm-hmm. Many trailblazers, if you will, yeah. and people following in the footsteps.
Now, finally, before I let you go there, Rick, I have to ask, what piece of advice would you like to share with our listeners, the voices of our people? Maybe there are those that are listening that are considering becoming a lawyer and just don't know where to start or where to go to. What advice would you like to share with them today?
Dream big. Chase the dream. Don't give up. Kai Bakchi. It means don't give up. Akamimo. It can be done because my first attempt at law school wasn't successful, and I worked a number of years. And when I went back, I had two small children. My youngest was two when I started law school. That two-year-old is now a lawyer. But it really is, if this is what you want to do, it can be done. And you just got to make I made a sacred oath on my grandma because she made so many sacrifices. My grandma's grave. I'm not going to screw this up again, so just do it. Make a sacred oath and say, I'm going to do this.